Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Were you a bit of a loose end yesterday, sending me a text on a Sunday?
No, I like to keep you on your toes. It's set to be a busy week and I want you to be properly prepared.
Well, it's a busy week in Monaco because it's Monaco Oceans Week, Hank.
Yes, right. It is a big week for Monaco and certainly Barclays Private Bank, proud to be part of that co-sponsor of Prince Albert's Foundation. This is the fourth edition, actually, of Monaco Ocean Week. The partnership, I think, echoes Barclays' group commitment for the safeguard of ocean biodiversity and the maintenance of a stable climate. Remember, we've got the Blue Marine Foundation at Barclays and certainly feel we have the duty to align our entire financing portfolio to the goals of the Paris Agreement and setting the objective to be a net zero bank by 2050. So this week, a virtual panel will gather over 150 renowned scientists from 26 countries to debate the matter in a constructive and pragmatic manner. Certainly pleased to say our colleague Damian Piatakis, who's certainly a leader in this area, will be participating in that process, so watch out for his sessions. Certainly believe more collective action has the potential to both strengthen the critical natural ecosystem and generate, perhaps equally important, attractive returns for dedicated investors. So be an interesting debate taking place this week.
Yeah, it's a shame you can't make it, because ordinarily Prince Albert would have been expecting you down to swab the decks of his boat, you know, so...
Happy to do it, no problems there. I'm sure we'll be
really?
Back in the Principality very soon to catch up with some old friends.
€5 an hour to you. OK, let's have a look at the markets. There's still this overriding concern over Treasury yields.
Very much so. There's plenty for investors to digest during the course of last week. Of course, we had a slew of central bank meetings, that ongoing volatility in bond markets, further disruption to Europe's lackluster vaccination program. So we did see the rally in equity markets pausing last week as those bond yields continued to rise, particularly after the Fed appeared content to allow the economy to run hot from an inflation perspective. 10-year Treasury yield climbed to 1.75% for the first time since January 2020 last week. 30-year breached 2.5% for the first time since August 2019. What does that mean for equity markets? Well, slightly weaker in terms of the S&P 500, down 0.8%, although should remember it's still up 4.2% during the course of this quarter. In Europe, the Stock 600 was flat and is up 6.1% during the course of the quarter. Real action actually was in commodity markets last week. Oil generated its biggest weekly loss since October, ending the week down almost 7%. Brent trading down to around $62 a barrel. Seen big rises in US stockpiles. The International Energy Agency said global supplies are plentiful. There's also signs that China may restrict the importation of heavy emissions fuels. Actually, lower prices could be positive for overall sentiment, though. Take some of the pressure out of those inflation projections.
Yeah, so the fall in the oil price will not be music to the ears of Saudi Aramco, which had a pretty bad year last year.
It did have a bad year. Results from Saudi energy giant showed earnings fell 45% compared with 2019, though still made a profit of $49 billion. Said shareholders would still receive dividends totaling $75 billion. Poor performance, of course, reflects the collapse that we saw in oil prices during the course of the pandemic as demand slumped. Follows on from huge profit declines and even losses at some of the other oil majors, including the likes of BP, Shell and Exxon. Aramco has also been impacted by recent drone attacks on some of its installations, though disruption to the production levels actually quite minor. They're able to get those operations back on stream quite quickly. In terms of the outlook, said demand has been picking up as economies reopen. They've been particularly seeing that in Asia, but certainly a tough year for many of those oil majors.
Still paying out dividends to the tune of, $75 billion,
though. Yes, still doing okay, no problem there. Of course, the oil prices we've been talking about have been a little bit volatile over the course of the past week, but has made a significant recovery during the course of the past few months. On expectations, as economies reopen, demand will start to shine through. Travel will be an interesting element of that, of course. You can imagine aviation fuel demand collapsed with the closing of borders, the grounding of planes. It'll be interesting to see how quickly demand there returns, what that means for supplies. And against a backdrop, of course, of supply, where we know that OPEC plus, particularly likes of Saudi Arabia, running a tight regime to try and keep those prices elevated.
And how many Lamborghinis are there in the Potts garage?
None in the Potts garage. I don't think I would buy a sports car. They always seem a little bit fragile to me, quite
well,
frankly.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't want to sort of crash it, really, would you?
Not really. And also, I've got a bad back.
They're
so
not
getting
sports
into
cars,
one.
I mean, they're supercars, really, aren't they?
This is true. Well, it's actually the supercars that have been doing very well. I don't know how you make the distinction, but certainly they've been doing very well. They said they've sold out these higher dollar, low volume supercars that carry a price tag up to $3 million. So some people clearly having a good year. Lots of companies been struggling to survive. It looks like Lamborghini have been thriving. Said their ideal model mix, along with growing customization, has helped to improve profitability margins. Seems really strong demand. I'm sure you see plenty of those in your part of the world for its SUV, the Urus. Now accounts for 59% of sales worldwide. So doing very well on the back of that. US top market, Germany second, China in third place. Said China's had a really strong start to the year. So certainly possible that they will take the second spot during the course of 2021.
I'm not quite sure if I'd recognise a Lamborghini SUV if I saw one. I mean, you've got plenty of the run-of-the-mill Lamborghinis around this part of the world, but
yes.
I don't see the point, really, of having an SUV Lamborghini or Bentley and Rolls-Royce are making them as well, because it kind of loses the character of the car a bit, the brand, doesn't it?
Maybe a little bit, but what they're doing is trying to keep people in the brand. So these are cool brands and do very well when people are in their perhaps, you know, late 20s, 30s. But by the time they get to the 40s and so, and you've got children, they're simply not practical. So it's just a way of keeping people within the brand. And they've been incredibly popular, certainly if you look at the Bentley Bentayga, I think it is. If you look at Aston Martin, have got one out now. The weird one is perhaps the Rolls-Royce one, which can be unfairly, I think, probably characterised as a large London taxi if it comes in black. So you've got to be a little bit careful which one you go for, I suppose. But not a problem that I find myself in this morning.
Just an Audi with more knobs on it, isn't it?
Maybe so.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Let's just do the Turkish lira, shall we, very quickly.
Some very quickly, yes.
Movements in Turkey. Lira down 8.5% as we speak. It's been down as much as 15% this morning. Stocks in Turkey down 6.6% after President Erdogan fired the central bank chief. Elsewhere, pound against dollar 138.5. Euro dollar coming in at 119. Can you get 1 euro 16.5 cents for your British pound this morning?
I should turn my microphone on. Thank you. Speak to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts from Barclays.